Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 455, The Liberating Love of God. Pastor Sarah Velasquez delivered this message on Sunday, January 18th, 2026, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. We're awake. Okay, good. Good morning. Good to see you today. Praise the Lord. I have the privilege of bringing the word of God to you. It's good. There's joy in the house. Amen. God is good all the time. We have some children today here with us. Three. Praise the Lord. We're growing. Awesome. So good to have you guys. And I'm going to start with a story. So you guys can enjoy this story and you can help me at the part. I'll cue you. Okay. So many of you know, years ago, when I came back to the States after living in South America, I was planted about a mile down the road that way in Stone Canyon Development, where my sister was living at the time. And the Lord, long story short, the Lord said, go and serve your sister. Her children were 5 and 2, and she had 2 babies on the way. Yes, 2 babies, 1, 2. I'll resist the temptation to sing the I Got Twins in My Belly song that she made up. But anyways, we'll just leave it there. I was living tía, which means auntie in Spanish, and helped with the kids. And had her other friends jealous. Her other mom friends would like, we want a tía at our house that helps, you know, with the kids, that does laundry, that does all this stuff. And so during the day, I was day shift, right? I had the baby monitors during nap times, and I would help my sister so she could rest and sleep. And she says that whole first year was a blur of having 4 children and infant twins. And so here's a funny story. I don't know how, but so I said, I'm on day shift, right? My brother-in-law would take night shift, which means he would have the baby monitors on at night. And when they would cry and be ready to be fed, he would go in and get them ready and change their diaper and bring them in for my sister to feed them. And I'm not sure why, but on this particular day, I had the baby monitors with me. I lived in the basement. I had a little apartment down there. And I left them on. I don't know why. I left them on. So about, 2 a.m., I got awoken to the lovely screaming twin sounds. Now, kids, can you help me at the count of 3? Can you give me your best baby cry? Like loud, wah, whatever. Ready? And you guys can help them. 1, 2, 3. Wah! It was loud, and it was like right in my ear, and I just like jolted, and I didn't even think about what time of day that. Hey, I'm not on duty. I mean, I heard the sound, and before I knew it, I'm bolting up the basement stairs. I'm on the first floor now, and then I'm bolting up the second floor stairs. I bust into the nursery, and I'm picking up a crying baby, and I'm shh, 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 shh. It's just reflex, right? It's just what you do. And my brother-in-law, oh my gosh, that sent him into a tizzy. Because, he gets awoken and he's ready to go onto duty. And he taps my sister and goes, Joy, Joy, somebody's in the nursery. Because he can hear, it's me, going, shh, 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 shh. You know, it's like that bad movie, Hand That Wrecks the Cradle, just like somebody's in the nursery, and she's like half asleep. She's trying to come to get herself ready to feed the babies. And it's got to be my sister. What's your sister doing in the nursery? Like, I'm on duty. I don't know, she says. I didn't know either, but there I am. I just went into reflex. We laughed about that so hard. And the reason I tell you this story is I was thinking about the message in that. That is how our Heavenly Father is with us. We're like little babies, little sheep that need our diapers changed and that have difficulty no matter what time of night or day it is. When we cry, he hears our cry. I heard the cry. It wasn't my job. It wasn't my turn. But you know what? The reflex hit my heart and I bolted. And then it was like I didn't even realize what I was doing until I had the baby in my arms and then, you know. And my brother-in-law so perplexed about what was happening and who was in the nursery. Like, somebody broke into the nursery. Tia has emerged from the basement. You know, what's she doing at 3 a.m. up there with the babies? Well, the moral of the story is turn off the baby monitors if you're not on night duty. So I learned my lesson. But imagine, you know, me as a human in my failed, my flawed human love of how much I love those babies, how much more our Heavenly Father, he hears you when you cry, and he's there. Jesus is on the scene when you cry out to him, when you ask for help. He hears your prayers, and he responds. So, thank you, kids. That was a great baby cry. Glad you guys are grown up enough that you don't cry quite like that anymore. Praise God. We're going to talk about the liberating love of God today. That, you know, God is love. It's who he is. It's his nature. He is always there, just like in the story that I just shared. He is there. He is present. He's the ever-present help in time of trouble. You know, we should never get tired of really knowing his love and experiencing and connecting with Jesus and God and who he is in God is love, right? Because it's so easy. You know, there's the famous cliche, oh, Jesus loves me. How many of us say that? We say that to other people. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. But really, do I know that I know that I know that I'm loved of the Father? Do I know that he is for me in all circumstances, in all situations, and just in who I am? Even when I'm a mess and I'm crying at 3 a.m. or I've messed up again and again and I'm going through failure or a hard situation or I'm, you know, trapped in a cycle of sin or whatever. He loves you. He loves you. And so today I'm going to talk about just that we need to get this deeper revelation, this understanding of how truly loved we are of the by the shepherd, by our Heavenly Father. Because when we do, and we really, that really gets down deep in our hearts, that affects all areas of our lives. And I'm going to give you some scenarios of that as we go through this with the Word of God. So the Word of God, let's look in the book. We're going to start with the famous John 3:16. And I'm focusing on or used most of the scriptures today from the Passion Translation. So John 3:16 in the Passion Translation says, "For here is the way God loved the world. He gave his only unique son as a gift." Who likes gifts? We all like gifts, right? We just came out of Christmas season. Praise the Lord. Jesus, the Son, he is the best gift. It says, "So now everyone who believes in him will never perish, but experience everlasting life." So this is saying if you know his love and you believe in what he did for you, not just the world, right? You are part of the world, right? God so loved the world. You go, "Hi, I'm the world. I'm in the world." You know, I'm not of the world, but I'm in the world. He made me. I am part of that. "For God so loved," you could read that and put your own name in there so it makes it more personal. Because when we think of God loved the world, yeah, he loved the world. He loved all the people out there. Like, it's abstract. No, I'm a part of that. "For God so loved Sarah that he gave his only unique son as a gift. So now Sarah, who believes in him," or put your name in there, "will never perish but experience everlasting life. Hallelujah. I can experience everlasting life because he loves me and he died for me. Like, let us really let that sink in. It'll cause life in all areas of my life. His everlasting life. Yes, that means I'm going to spend eternity in heaven with him. But here now, I can experience his abundant life in all the areas that I allow him to. Because you know what? God's love is so different from the world's love. Amen? It's very different. And we could probably tell a lot of stories about, you know, and find examples and ways of showing how the world's love is so different than God's love. God's love is the best. It's better than chocolate. Praise the Lord. So, you know, like in any relationship, we've got to keep it fresh, right? You got to have interaction. You got to have communication. And those of you that are married, you know, to keep your marriage fresh, you need to stoke the fire, so to speak, right? You need to give and receive love. You need to foster that relationship. Spend time. Do things that express your heart of love so that the other person can receive that, right? That's so important. Let our love not grow cold. There's a scripture in the Bible that talks about, you know, in the end times that the love of many will grow cold. Well, let our love for God, because we're receiving from his love, let it not grow cold. Let us not grow cold. We got to stoke the fire, knowing and receiving that fresh revelation every day, really, how much he loves us. Okay, the next scripture, Romans 5, verse 8. Again, Passion Translation, Romans 5, verse 8. But Christ proved God's passionate love for us by dying in our place while we were still lost and ungodly. So Christ proved that God so dearly, passionately, intensely loves us by doing what? Dying. Good. You're awake. A few of you are awake. Praise God. By dying. I knew that was going to happen. This is the symbol of his love. This, his death on the cross, symbolizes how much he loves us, how much he loves you, how much he loves you, how much he loves you and each one of us. He did it for you. He went to the cross. He bled. He was persecuted. He was spit on. He was, you know, his flesh torn. Go read in the parts of scripture about the crucifixion. Like, he did that for you. Why? According to this verse, because he loves you. He was demonstrating or proving his love to you by taking your place. You, me, we deserve the punishment for sin. The wrath of God was against us. Have you ever been, you know, charged with a crime or convicted of something or condemned of something? You know, like, you messed up, whether it is in the court of law legally or just you messed up and you have that guilt, you have that shame on you. Okay, so go to a court situation and the judge is there and the lawyers are representing the two sides. You're guilty. You know you did it. And you're facing a sentence. You're facing a penalty, a punishment. Maybe it's many years in jail. And the judge, you know, takes his robe off. Can you imagine this situation? Takes the robe off and comes down and puts his gavel down and comes and says, I'll take it. I'll take your punishment. Wow. That's what he did for you. Jesus, he died for you. He took the punishment that was due us, that was due each one of us because of the weight of our sin. And he said, I'll take it. I'll do it. That, my friends, is love. Do you have any friends that have died for you? Jesus did, because he loves you so much. And God's love is all about him loving us. It's not about us loving him, and yeah, that comes later. That's a response, right? Or it's not about me doing things, trying to earn or perform so that I can get his love. It's about, it's already done. He did it. It's a done deal. He did it. And Jesus always, and God in his love, he always makes a step toward us. It's not about, and all I have to do is receive that. All I have to do is yield to that. It's God making a move by sending his son to die for us, coming toward us. His love always takes a step of action toward us. And Jesus is the best example of that. His love doesn't sit back and wait to see if, well, let's see if they're good enough. Let's see if they prayed today. Let's see if they read their scriptures today. Oh, they're not a good Christian, so I'm going to withhold my love. No, he's not like that. He doesn't condemn you. If you are in Christ, if you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you are beloved of him. And even if you haven't, here's a good opportunity to do that today, to give your heart and life, because I'm talking about this amazing unconditional love, the love of God, the love of Jesus that took a step toward you. And you don't have to do anything but just accept it and receive it. That's a good deal, isn't it? Very good deal, Pastor Karen. I agree. Very good deal. We need to know what this love is, what it looks like, how to receive it, how to walk in that. And I don't even mean our response of loving him back, but just walk in that I am loved. I'm a child of God. He doesn't condemn me. He's not pointing fingers at me. He's not waiting to see if I'm going to measure up. He's already done it. He's already poured out his love. He anything that I do isn't going to make or not do isn't going to make the love of God be more over me. He already did it. And it's Jesus on the cross. Praise the Lord. This love, the power of this love, is what can totally transform our lives. I need a little transformation. How about you? Need a little remodeling? We're in a new year, right? Let's press in and get this real revelation of how loved we are by him. Okay, so another scripture, 1 John 4, 7 through 10. I'm going to take a sip here. You can find it in your Bibles or your smartphones. Or direct your attention to the screen. 1 John 4, 7 through 10. Those who are loved by God, let his love continually pour from you to one another, because God is love. Everyone who loves is fathered by God. Isn't that good? We're fathered by God and experiences an intimate knowledge of him. The one who doesn't love has yet to know God, for God is love. The light of God's love shined within us when he sent his matchless son into the world so that we might live through him. This is love. He loved us long before we loved him. It was his love, not ours. He proved it by sending his son to be the pleasing, sacrificial offering to take away our sins. This is just in the mouth of two or three witnesses. This is a further scripture to show he loves us. He loves us so much, and it was his love. I love that part. It was his love, not ours. And that he sent Jesus to be that sacrifice. Some versions say the propitiation offering to take away our sins. It satisfied Jesus' death on the cross, satisfied the wrath of God, the punishment that was due us. He redeemed us and sanctified us. Hallelujah! Is somebody excited for what he's done? Like, sometimes in church, we just get so, you know, like, oh yeah, yeah, Jesus loves me. But like, yeah, he does. He really loves you. Doesn't matter what anybody's told you your entire life. Doesn't matter if you weren't planned or you know, whatever, there was an assignment from the devil against your life, whatever, whatever's spoken over you, whatever you've endured or gone through, he loves you. Yes. He loves you.
He did not reject us.
He did not reject us. He will not forsake us or abandon us. Thank you, Lord. That's amazing, because we can be a little naughty sometimes, right? Who can be naughty? I mean, we all sin and fall short of the glory of God, the Bible says, right? So all hands. I mean, we all mess up. There's so many ways to, you know, that we sin all the time. Oh, Jesus, thank you for your amazing love, your unconditional love, that you don't give up on us. You don't give up on us. All right, a revelation of this love of God unlocks the word for us so that we can see, like in these scriptures that I've read, that he truly loves us because we see what he did for us. We're not guilty anymore. We're not condemned anymore. That's good news, really good news. God's love destroyed the power of sin and death. And think about all the forms of sin and death that that can take. Sin was the root, right? Death was the fruit. So death in your finances, poverty, right? Death in your body, sickness, disease, death over relationships, bitterness in your heart, not being able to love or forgive people. So many ways in all the areas of our lives, right? That Jesus came to destroy that power of sin and death and the work of the enemy. He came to destroy that, destroy the work of the devil, the defeated one. And then in doing so, he closed that separation between us and God, bringing us to the heart of the Father, because there was no more condemnation against us, no more punishment against us. There's so many scriptures that we could go into Colossians 2. I love that. But that's not what I have down here. What I've prepared here is 2 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind, right? Let's look at verses 1 and 2 of 2 Corinthians 13. And this says it a little bit different in the Passion Translation. It says, if I were to speak with eloquence in earth's many languages and in the heavenly tongue of angels, yet I didn't express myself with love, my words would be reduced to the hollow sound of nothing more than a clanging cymbal. Kids, can you do sound effects? Clanging cymbal. What would that sound like? It's hard with your mouth to do that. I don't know. That's not a good clanging cymbal. Ding! Crash, crash, bang, right? Okay, thank you for the sound effects. And if I were to have the gift of prophecy with a profound understanding of God's hidden secrets, and if I possessed unending supernatural knowledge, and if I had the greatest gift of faith that could move mountains, but have never learned to love, then I am, say it with me, nothing, nada, zero, zilch, nothing without love. Wow. Spiritual gifts, speaking in tongues, prophecy, faith, all those things that were mentioned there, just having knowledge, none of it compares to the love of God. None of it. It's all a hill of beans next to the hill. I mean, gifts are good, spiritual gifts are good, don't get me wrong, right? But if I operate in all that stuff, but I don't have love in my heart, that I don't know that I am loved, we're focusing really on us, on the receiving end of love. But of course, I can't show love. I can't manifest and demonstrate love to others around me if I don't truly, and in a genuine way, if I don't really have a revelation that I'm loved. So it starts there. It starts with us receiving how much I'm loved, because this says without that, without a revelation of his love, I am nothing. My life doesn't mean anything without that. It all starts there. Wow. Let's start there. Because his love, it makes us whole. It makes us whole. Without love and a revelation of how loved I am in Christ, then I'm lacking something, right? I'm missing something. A lack of the revelation of the love of God manifests in many ways and in different areas of a person's life. We can start to look in all bunch of different areas, vices, things, whatever, people, to fill us up, to fill that void that only he meant to fill. That his pure love, if I'm not really walking in his pure love, then I'm over here looking for gold and glitter and anything that sparkles and anything that can make me feel good and better about myself, right? We put up walls to hide because I don't feel good enough. I don't feel worthy enough, right? We can create identity, false identities of who we are. And it all comes from a deficit of love, not understanding how loved I am in the Father. So that can express itself in rejection. These are two main ways that a deficit of revelation of the love of God can manifest, right? In rejection and in rebellion. Both are lies that take me away from my true identity. You know, in Amos, I talked a few weeks ago about Amos. Amos was a prophet, a minor prophet in the Old Testament, and the people, he was used by God to speak to the people and to try to bring their hearts back to the Lord, that they were straying, that they were in idolatry, that they were messing around. They were looking for love in all the wrong places. That sounds like a 90s song. In Amos 7, let's just look at this. Amos 7, 7 and 8, God spoke to him. And actually, they have an exchange before that where God is saying, basically, you know, like, I'm going to destroy them. And Amos is like, no, don't. Will you relent? Will you not do that? And so then here comes verse 7. This is Amos 7, verse 7. Lord Yahweh revealed this to me in another vision. This is Amos speaking. He said, I saw the Lord standing by a wall built true to plumb, holding a plumb line in his hand. Plumb line is straight. It's rect, right? Amos, what do you see? Yahweh asked me, a plumb line, I replied. Then the Lord said, behold, I am about to set a plumb line up against my people Israel to test them. Never again I will look the other way when they sin. And then it goes on to say that he will destroy all the high places, the high fortified walls of idolatry that they, the people Israel, put up to worship other gods. Those high walls that we put up to hide behind because we don't feel good enough, we don't feel qualified, we don't understand how much he loves us. So God says, I'm going to set a plumb line in my people's heart. Right? And like in construction, a plumb line, the old school version was a string with like a weight at the bottom, and it fell, I guess, rect. Is that the right word, engineers? It fell straight. And so it measures. Basically, God saying, I'm going to measure my people's hearts and make sure that, you know, I want them here. So the plumb line represents his truth, his absolute truth. It represents his love. And anything that's a little bit off to the left or to the right, or, you know, like a swinging pendulum, it's false. It's false walls. It's idolatry. It's wrong, right? And God wants to bring that down in our lives. These false things that we create, these ways to protect ourselves or ways to satisfy our soul that we're not going to him to be satisfied. We're not understanding how much we're loved in him. And so God doesn't want us to live in falsehood. He doesn't want us to live in lies. He loves the true one. He loves the little boy in you, little girl in you that's maybe, that is inside like screaming for, I need love. I never got it when I was 5 years old. I was whatever this, that, and the other thing happened to me in so many years ago. He loves that one. He loves the true one, that we don't need to put on masks or false identities or create all these other things. He said, let me just love you and let me just show you how much I love you. So to talk a little bit more about this, how this happens, like the lies that create an identity, then as soon as you accept a lie as an identity, like this is who I am, I'm the sick one, or I'm the one that's worth nothing, like maybe you're comparing yourself to siblings. I was just always the runt. I was the one that, you know, they said was a mistake, or whatever false things the false prophets spoke over you. If you accept that, then it gains a stronghold in your life, in your heart. Romans 6, it says that whatever you obey, you're a slave to that. If you're obeying that, if you're accepting whatever lie as your reality, as your truth, then you're a slave to it. That's bondage. And so these lies of rejection and rebellion, it's bondage. Let me give you some examples. Lie of rejection, like saying or having this inner dialogue of like, I'm damaged goods. I'm not as valuable as or lovable as whoever, XYZ. I won't amount to much. That all comes from a place of rejection. That comes from inferiority. And when we're talking about false walls that aren't lined up in the plumb line of his truth, his absolute truth of love, rejection is on one side, right? And the bricks of rejection, how that can play out and manifest in our lives, this is just some of them. Sadness, self-pity, self-hatred, depression, apathy, loneliness, anxiety, inferiority, comparison, insecurity. Wow. I'm plastered under those bricks. That's a heavy weight. That's sin, right? If I come into agreement with any of those, that's sin. That's unbelief. That's not lining up to the word of God. So how do I change that, Pastor Sarah? I recognize or I identify with some of those things, some of those bricks that you told me that are part of that wall. How do I get back to the truth? I want to be in the plumb line. Okay, I'm glad you asked. Let's get our minds renewed. Let's get our minds renewed, have a revelation of the word of God. And like Evangelist Michael Livengood talked about, I feel like this message is kind of like more in-depth or more like peeling back the curtains of what he talked about last Sunday night. Was that one called The Veil? No, not The Veil. The Glory, I forget what we named it. But last Sunday night, if you weren't here, go listen to that on the podcast. Go to the website. You can get to the podcast. And also, you can get that on Facebook and YouTube under My Father's House. Go listen to that because that's kind of like, that'll be like the first part one of, you know, of this, of what I'm talking about. Because he was talking about the veil and how we need to be vulnerable. When you recognize, you know, we're going to be talking about these bricks, right? Bricks of rejection, bricks of rebellion. When you recognize something, it's up to us to be vulnerable and before God's presence to come to take that veil off and say, yeah, God, I'm struggling with this. I don't want this. Bring me back into your truth, right? And so it's through the revelation of the word of God combined with what he was talking about, the glory of God being in his presence. And that stuff can change in a moment. It can also change as you meditate on the word and get that belief in your heart that you're lining up to who he says you are, right? And so how do we change these things? Romans 12, 2. This is the Passion Translation says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit, right? Through a total reformation of how you think. That comes from the word of God. That comes from being in his presence. That comes through an interaction, an encounter with his glory. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. So, we got to get our minds renewed. Amen. Don't sleep with the baby monitor and don't sleep with it turned on. Sleep with the Word of God playing, right? Put it on your pillow. Get it in your hearts, whatever we got to do. We have no excuse because we have technology, we have smartphones, we have every version, we have you version, we have, you know, there's no excuse for not getting in the Word of God. Get your mind renewed about who He says you are, and you will be transformed then by that Word, by His presence, by meeting with Him, by meditating, chewing on that Word, and really getting a download in your heart of that. John 8, 31, 32, Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, "When you continue to embrace all that I teach, you prove that you are my true followers. For if you embrace the truth of the love of God on the cross, it will release true freedom into your lives." The other version that we know is knowing the truth will set you free. Right? When you know the truth will set you free. Like really knowing it, not just up here knowing it. Knowing it, having an experience, an encounter with His truth that comes from His Word and comes from His presence. So that's going to affect me when I have His Word and His presence and revelation comes. That's going to produce transformation. So the lie of rejection of, you know, I'm just not good enough and I don't amount to anything. The truth of that is that He speaks love over you, that you're not rejected. There's so many scriptures I could have chosen for to show, you know, the truth. But the point is, and I'm going to read those two that I chose. The point is, you go find, ask the Lord, what's a truth of your word? Who do you say I am that will help me fight this lie of whatever the lie is? Find it and get it in your heart. Meditate on it. Let it come alive in you. Abide in Him and let His words abide in you. Praise the Lord and you will be transformed. So here's one. The whole book of Ephesians for rejection and rebellion. Ephesians 1, go there. I mean, that tells you every spiritual blessing. This is Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. Every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realm has already been lavished upon us as a love gift from our wonderful heavenly Father, the Father of our Lord Jesus. So if you feel like you're nothing and I have nothing and I'm just nothing, that's not what His word says. It says every spiritual blessing has been given to you. It's a love gift lavished on you. Receive it. Praise the Lord. Okay. All because He sees us wrapped into Christ. This is why we celebrate with Him with all our hearts. Verse 4, and in love, He chose us before He laid the foundation of the universe. Get a revelation of that He chose you before the foundation of the universe. Because of His great love, He ordained us so that we would be seen as holy in His eyes with an unstained innocence. Wow, wow, wow. We could camp out there for a long time and get that in our hearts and be never the same. We could be transformed. Hallelujah. Let's get it. Let's let Him fix in 26. Let Him fix these wrong things of the plumb line that swings, right, from the rejection side and is based on lies. And we can swing back to rebellion because, well, let's just read the other truth that I chose. This is one that has touched my life. Deuteronomy 28, verse 13. It says, if you listen to these commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today, and if you carefully obey them, the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You will always be on top and never on the bottom. You are at the head and not the tail. I received this verse that somebody was praying and God gave them that verse. They gave it to me. I had never heard that. I thought I was on the bottom. I thought I was less than people in my family. That was part of one scripture that got to my heart that began to transform. I'm not at the bottom. I'm not less than. I'm not inferior. I don't need to be insecure. He loves me because he's put me at the head, not the bottom. Praise the Lord. Like, my picture is on, if God had a refrigerator, my picture would be on his refrigerator. Amen. Kids, do you know that? That God's got your picture on his refrigerator, and you are his favorite. Amelia, you are his favorite. Grace, you are his favorite. And Kason, you are his favorite. And you too, Santos. He doesn't want to be left out. He's sitting with the kids back there. Praise God. You can walk around. It makes you hold your head higher, like knowing who you are. So when junk and lies and sickness and all this stuff tries to come against you, you're messing with the wrong daughter of the king. I'm a daughter of the king, the one most true holy God. It makes you stand a little taller, hold your head higher of like knowing who you are. You don't have to feel rejected anymore. Get rid of those feelings. That's not based on truth. So let's go to the lie of rebellion, because, you know, feeling rejected isn't fun. So I'm going to show them. But guess what? The truth of rebellion, it comes from rebellion is born out of rejection. It's still the same feeling of feeling rejected. It's just, I'm going to be aggressive about it. I'm going to show them. They're not going to put me down. I'm going to punch them out if they say anything wrong about me. It's aggressive. It's an outward instead of the rejection is just, oh, poor me, and I'm just going to sit here and be lonely and cry and insecure. The rebellion is, I'm going to fight. I'm going to show them. And some of the bricks of rebellion, hostility, conceit, I'm better than everyone, sophistication, anger, superiority, competitive, rigid, stubborn, unteachable, critical, control, impatience, envy, demandingness, justification. Oh, Jesus, help us. Help us. Because it's this lack of love, really, from rejection. It hurts me so much that I'm going to rebel and I'm going to go to the other side. It's still me trying to find love and acceptance. It's still me being far away from the truth of God, where the plumb line is that he loves me so much. Help us, Jesus. So we get our minds renewed. What are some truths, if you can identify with this rebellion? And a lot of us, it kind of swings back and forth. And in different areas, we're on the rejection side, or it can manifest into rebellion side. So truth from the Word of God, Romans 8. And this is really, it's love. It could be applied for both the person who's struggling with rejection just as much as rebellion. So now I live with the confidence that there is nothing in the universe with the power to separate us from God's love. I'm convinced. Are you convinced? If you're not, read this verse over and over and over until you're convinced. It says, I'm convinced that his love will triumph over death, life's troubles, fallen angels, or dark rulers in the heavens. There is nothing in our present or future circumstances that can weaken his love. There is no power above us or beneath us, no power that ever could be found in the whole universe that can distance us from God's passionate love, which is lavished upon us through our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. That's a good word right there. That's a really good word. That's going to affect you, isn't it? That's going to transform your life when you get that in your heart. Nothing can separate me from the love of God. Nothing, nothing, nothing. Okay, I'm going to move on. I just want to show you how this applies, how it's so important for us to get this revelation of the love of God, because it affects every area, and we could go on, but I'm just going to do a few more here. In relationships, here's the lie. Like, somebody hurts you, I can't forgive that person because they hurt me so much And their sin against me is greater. And that's all you can see. What the offense that they did against you. That's a lie, right? I have sinned just as much as that person who hurt me, right? But meditating on the trespass, meditating on the offense and what they did to you, it only builds bitterness. I don't want to be bitter. Help me to not be bitter. But my thoughts just keep going to that thing, and they did that, and they said that, and I can't believe it. Bitterness says, I must punish my offender, so I'm going to withhold my forgiveness. That's a foolish thing. That's the little sheep dumb thing. Like Sister Tanya was talking, bah, you know, because holding back forgiveness, thinking that we're punishing the one that hurt us so badly, is like filling this cup up with poison and I'm drinking it for myself because I'm rotting out my heart, basically. I'm allowing bitterness to take hold in my life. And so to tear down that bitterness and that offense so that I can forgive because I see that it offends God, well, how do I do that? I get truth in my heart. And you know what? I think a huge part of it is of seeing how much I was forgiven. Seeing what this, the cross, really means. That he forgave all of my sin, all of my filthy rags. I like focusing on yourself and what Jesus did for you, because we know, yeah, Jesus died for me, but if you really think about the debt that he paid, what he went through all of that so I could be free. And we don't see that sometimes. It's just like this abstract concept, but like, what was the debt? What was the punishment that he really had to go through? Well, watch the Passion and read Isaiah 53 and imagine much worse than what you see depicted in the Passion of the Christ. And that's what he did. And us getting a revelation of how terrible my own sin was and seeing that debt, seeing what I owed, makes me understand, wow. He did that for me. So if he forgave all of my sins, past, present, and future, and I'm just upset and holding forgiveness back for this person that spoke some words over me that weren't nice, or maybe it was a more severe thing that they, you know, offense or way that they hurt you, damaged you, but still it doesn't compare to what he went through. When we see his payment for our sin, right? We get this understanding of how much I owed, how much the wrath of God was against me because of my sin. And then that helps my heart understand I've been forgiven much. I can forgive much. Like the story of the woman, the sinner woman in Luke 7 that comes into the house where Jesus is. And, you know, the Pharisees were really offended that she was broke her alabaster jar and using this expensive perfume to wash Jesus's feet as she's weeping over him and crying and washing his feet with her hair. But she understood. She was a sinful, you know, had lived a sinful lifestyle, the Bible says. So she understood the weight of her sin. It says, Luke 7, verse 47, and you can read the whole account later. But Jesus says to Simon the Pharisee that he's talking to and is talking to him about what this woman is doing, and they're all offended. He says, therefore, I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. She was lavishing her love on Jesus because she understood how much he loved her and how much she was forgiven of her sin. So because she understood that, she could express that out to him. Because Jesus says to Simon the Pharisee, well, you didn't greet me with a kiss. You didn't Open your expensive perfume and weep over me and wash my feet. She had been forgiven much, so she loved much. She gave it back out. But she had an understanding, a revelation of what Jesus did for her and took her sin, and then it was manifested out. That's what we need. We need a revelation to see what he really did for us. That he did it out of love, and that is what will enable you to release the bitterness, to release the forgiveness, release that that poison, yeah, and release that person and forgive them. Because you know what? Jesus forgave me. Praise the Lord. We doing okay?
Yes.
Pin could drop in here. Praise the Lord. He's ministering to our hearts. Let me take a sip. Okay, let's go to another area. That was the area of relationships. How about in the area of health? A lie in the area of health keeps me in bondage and keeps me in sickness. What about the lie of God is judging me, right? And he's putting this sickness on me to teach me a lesson. Oh, my friend, that is not the truth of the Word of God. And understanding his truth of how much he loves you is going to set you free. The truth of 1 Peter 2:24. He himself carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we could be dead to sin. Dead to sin. You are dead to sin. And live for righteousness. Our instant healing flowed from his wounding. Hallelujah. From his wounding, his hands and feet pierced on the cross, his instant healing. He did it. He healed you then, 2,000 plus years ago on the cross, because he loves you so much. And we've got to know that. We've got to know that love. We've got to experience that, because that busts the lie out of the water that he's putting something on me to teach me a lesson. Who of you that has somebody that you love in your life, like a child or a grandchild or just anybody, that you would put something bad on them, like put a sickness or hammer their finger and damage, you know, hurt them in order to teach them a lesson? Even us in our failed human love wouldn't do that. So how could God the Father do that? That doesn't line up to the Word of God. Understanding how much we are loved, like I said before, it's going to make you hold your head higher and go, oh no, oh no, devil, you can't put this sickness on me. You can't come with this filth. I'm a temple of the living God. I'm a daughter of the one true King. And that's what's changed for me in my journey of healing, of understanding. And you know what? The more I understood how much God loved me, it was like in certain situations like this with the devil, like people say, oh, Sarah's so sweet. Not with the devil. When I know how loved I am, I'm going to say, no way. The blood of Jesus is around me. Get out, right? You cannot. I'm loved. He did it for me. I receive all of that love. And so then I'm going to reject all the sickness. I'm going to reject the pain. And you better believe it, I get loud and nasty in my house when I have headaches or whatever's going on. No, no, I'm beloved of the Father. Praise the Lord. Get out. And you can do it too. If you need help, and if you're like typically like quiet and soft and sweet, come and I'll coach you, and we'll give lessons. We'll you can do it. Be tough. Be tough. Kick that stuff out. If I can do it, you can do it. Praise the Lord. Okay, not with people. Not with people. We're talking about against the. Let's just make sure everyone understands, right? We're talking about attacks of the enemy when he tries to put sickness on you or any kind of sin or, you know, any lie. Get out! Get out! Right? We can be violent against him and his attacks. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. And I can reinforce that with the authority he's given in me. I am preaching now. Hallelujah. Okay. Love applied to our hearts can heal every hurt. This was just some areas. It can cancel every lie. It can restore us. It has the power to transform us. I mean, if you could name anything that you're struggling with, fear, well, perfect love casts out fear. He has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you one of love and power and a sound mind. And there's so many other scriptures about to battle fear, to battle anxiety. How about, you know, you're feeling like your past is just so terrible and you feel guilty and you feel condemned. There is Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is a truth in here to bust down, break down, tear down every lie that you have believed or that you have entertained or that you have walked in. And his love, it all comes from that starting place of he. We got to super glue this. We got to. That love from. It all comes from that place of knowing that you're loved because he died for you on the cross. Get it in your heart for real and ask him what area, what one thing. Don't be overwhelmed if you're like, oh my gosh, I have all the bricks of rejection and I have all the bricks of rebellion and I'm just like on the floor plastered by all these walls of bricks. Well, I was there once too. And that's a different story for another day. But one thing, what's one area? One scripture, one thing that you're struggling with that the Holy Spirit has been, you know, in this time, maybe already speaking to you about. Let's take care of that. Get the word. Get your weapon from the word of God. Stay dressed in the armor. Use your authority and fight that thing. Get it. Get transformation working in your life when you get that in your heart. I think I've told this story, and I'll tell the really short version now, that the word of God, like these of like you're at the head and not the tail, in Ephesians 1, I think it's verse 23 at the end where it says, he fills everything in every way. That was a huge scripture in my life because I felt like empty or less than. And God used that scripture. No, I fill everything in every way. He fills every area of my heart. That, you know, different scriptures and meeting Jesus in his presence, going to him, like Evangelist Michael Livengood was saying, and being vulnerable and saying, I'm struggling with this. Or just going and seeking his presence and saying, help me, Lord. You know, it's like us taking off that veil and saying, this is the real me, and this is what I'm struggling with. And so one of those times where I met him in the presence of God, and it was like all those words that he's spoken in my heart, it clicked into reality, and we were in a prophetic, like, worship time, and the Lord said to me, everyone was worshiping in this room in the healing school, and the Lord said, will you dance with me? And just side note, backstory, I had, you know, loved to, in this big ministry house where there's lots of people and everyone's trying to have their quiet time, and I'm sitting next to the girl with her headphones on and she's singing and off key, and I'm like, I can't be intimate with God right now. Like, I just need my own time. So sometimes I would set my alarm and wake up in the middle of the night and go down to this big, to me, it was like a ballroom. It was my ballroom with Jesus, and I would just dance with him, and I would have my journal, my Bible, and I would stay up for however long and then go back to bed. And so there was this thing about the Lord ministering to me about my identity, that I didn't need a boyfriend. I didn't need anybody else to make me feel valuable or to applaud me or to make me feel secure, that it all came from him, that he is the lover of my soul. And so it was this whole thing about him being a gentleman and romancing me, really, and like dancing with me in the night. So flash forward to this prophetic worship time, and the Lord says, will you dance with me? And I'm like, well, what does that look like? Well, what do you mean? Will you dance with me? I'm like, here? Now? Everyone's here. It's not 3 a.m. and everyone's sleeping. There's a lot of people in my private ballroom right now. And he's like, will you dance with me? Like, you know, these scenes in the movies where like a gentleman comes and like, will you dance with me? And the girl's just going to leave him hanging. And it was like, he was like, the third time he asked me, it was like, you're just going to leave me hanging. And I'm like, no, Lord. I'm not. And so then I had a flash. I'm like, well, how do I do that? And I had the flash of a staff person that they were there to minister to the students in the school. And I was a student in this healing school. And so I'm like sobbing by this time. And I finally work up the courage and the obedience of like, okay, I'm going to do this. And I go over to this guy, this staff, and I said, hello, in my broken Spanish and crying and slobbering. And the Lord asked me to dance with him. Will you stand in? And so we slow danced around that room, around the other people. I snotted all over this poor man's shirt. But like, more importantly than that, there was something that happened that I knew that I was beloved of God. You know, somebody could have said, you're this, you're that. No, I'm not, because he asked to dance with me. Like, I was his princess in that moment. I was beloved of the Father. And there was just like a shift, even of all the scripture that I had received. It was like, oh, it really makes sense now that he fills everything in every way, because he is the lover of my soul. He's my husband, my maker. And there was no going back from that. And here I am today, praise the Lord. But it starts there with pressing into his presence, to his word, to being vulnerable, to saying, this is the true me, God, and I want you to transform that. I want your truth. I don't want to swing from rejection and rebellion. I want to be planted, firmly established, like in Ephesians 1 or 3, where it says to be firmly rooted and grounded in his love. 3? Couldn't see how many fingers you're holding up. Ephesians 3. Read the whole book of Ephesians. It's so good. So much good stuff there. In conclusion, the truth of the Lord's love can set me free in any and every area of my life. I'm already complete. You are already complete in Jesus, but we need to know it up here. And we need it, well, more importantly, we need to know it here in our hearts. I am loved for who I am, regardless of what I do or what I don't do. You are worth the blood of Jesus. Think about the cost of the blood of Jesus, the worth, the value of the blood of Jesus. That's what you are worth. That's your value. He paid a high price for you because he loves you. You have Jesus's permission, and you have my permission for those who are like that need permission from someone. You have permission from the Holy Spirit of God to be real before him, to be vulnerable, to allow his love, his truth to wash you clean. Knowing, really knowing his truth will set you free. It did for me, and it can do it for you. Seek his word, his truth, seek revelation, be vulnerable, take a step and take that veil off and allow him to transform you. And so I just want to close with this scripture in Jeremiah. Just close your eyes and just receive this from the heart of God. This is Jeremiah 30, 17 and verse 18. It says, for I, Yahweh, say to you who were once called outcast, I will heal your wounds. And to you who were once called forgotten Zion, I will restore your health. Yahweh says, see, I will restore the fortunes of the tents of Jacob and have compassion on his families. The city will be rebuilt on its mound with the city fortress in its rightful place. Out of them will be heard the joyous songs of thanksgiving and the raucous shouts of joy. I will cause them, you, to flourish and not diminish. I will bring you, he says, honor, and you will not be humiliated. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your word of truth today. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, Father, for sending Jesus, that ultimate demonstration to us of how much we are loved. Holy Spirit, I pray that you minister these words your scripture, your truth to each heart and life, much beyond what my words have said today, that you are going deep into those places where we have created false identities, where we've put up walls, where we've looked in other places for love and for satisfaction, where it was there all along in you, Father God. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his blood poured out for us so that we could be free, we could be forgiven, we could be redeemed, we could be whole, that we are chosen, that we are loved, that we are included, that we've been adopted into his love, adopted into sonship so that we can say, Abba, Father. Thank you, God, for knocking down every lie of rejection and rebellion, every false identity. And as each one of us takes a step toward you, as we're vulnerable and we ask for help and we cry out to you and we seek your word, that you will show us, God, and you will transform our hearts and lives by the power of your love and in your glory and in your presence. And we thank you for that, God. We thank you for you, the Spirit of Truth, that comes alongside of us to romance our hearts, to show us in a deeper way than we've ever known before how much we are loved of you. And we thank you for that love. Thank you, Jesus. Shiakara na he kaparo to 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 to. Hiakapabaria tatata. Hiakapabaria tata. The wounds of the past can be healed because we know your love. Shiakara na hiakababaro to to to. Kabaria tata tata. Kabaria tata. Hiakababaro to to to. Kabaria tata. I just feel like there's someone who has been so hurt by their mother. There's like a deep mother wound. That their mother was not loving. That their mother was not or is not how God designed her to be. And she didn't show you love and affection and positive words, but the opposite. And God wants to heal that hurt. He wants to heal that hurt with his love. So if that's you, just receive this right now. You are loved. You are loved. And help me, Jesus. I just feel like he wants me to sing a lullaby over you, if that's you. It's like the lullaby from the heart of the Father that you never got or you never received from your mother when you were maybe an infant or a young child. Thank you, Jesus. She anae, anae, anae. Si anae, anae, ana. She akara. He holds you, he rocks you, he sings a song of love to heal every hurt, to heal every wound. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And so if you want to respond, I'd like to call you up, just do an altar call to seek, for you to take a step toward his love. And all you have to do is take that step and then you receive. You yield to the love that he has for you. So if you identify that with today, And you need to get right in your heart. You need to confess to him in his presence a lie of rejection or rebellion or a false identity or any of that stuff. Or running to other things to comfort yourself, to satisfy your heart, your soul. Then I invite you to come up and the Holy Spirit will just minister to you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.